pay close heed to my every word.
My buddy Betty D, a sour put you'll see. But when I'm done, he'll leave no gun to the joker. He will be C-D-A-C-H-I-I. Love to break the pain. Believe me, it's no strain. It feels so great to touch a plate and look to me. No pain, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain.
You're listening to League Podcast episode 390. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
And we have a very special guest again, second time, to promote his new Kickstarter project, Gary K. Wolf. Thanks, Gary. Good to see you again.
Great to be here. I think second time is the charm, right?
That's right. Exactly.
The first time I wasn't asking for money, so maybe the second time will be the charm. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No one ever comes back three times, so we better just take it. So, yeah, so you have a new Kickstarter project, which is very interesting. It's do you want to just talk about it, or do you want me to
up to you. I'll okay. Talk about it. Yeah. It's a Kickstarter campaign to turn my first novel, which is Killer Bowl, into a graphic novel. Killer Bowl is a story about football played in the future, and it is played on the city streets. They call it street football. The game lasts for 24 hours. It starts at midnight on Saturday and goes through midnight on Sunday. It's played with weapons. So you have specific weapons which you are allowed to use. You can use a cudgel, which is like a big club. You can use a long knife. You can use a short knife. There's a player called a hidden safety. And the hidden safety can be anywhere on the field. Doesn't have to be on sides. Can be anywhere. He has a rifle, but he only has one bullet. So he got to play. Wow. And it's a blood sport. So no substitutions. The people who are on the field have to stay there until halftime. Then you can take them off. If you're injured or killed during the game, you're obviously out of the game.
Yeah,
you're killed. You're dead.
Wow.
And I wrote it. It was my first novel. And I wrote it because I was really into action novels. I was really into football. And I am now, looking back on it, I am amazed at how well I foretold the future. I wrote this book in 1975. And I basically predicted mixed martial arts combat. Right. You know, give those guys a cudgel and a knife and a bullet. you got street football.
I noticed you also sort of, I was watching the video on the Kickstarter page, and you have, it's this sort of aging quarterback is the main character. It's sort of like Tom Brady, right? Obviously.
Tom's listening out there. He would be a good one to contribute to my Kickstarter. the story involves an aging quarterback, TK Mann. And he's 34 years old, which is ancient by street football standards. The lifespan of these people is generally 2 to 3 years. The players, 2 to 3 years, they either die at the sport or are so badly injured that they can't continue. But he's been doing it for longer than anybody else in the street football league. And the book itself talks about Killer Bowl 21, and the two teams are the Boston Minutemen, I believe I call them, and the San Francisco Prospectors. TK is the quarterback for the Minutemen, and a guy named Harv Matishan, who is a young up-and-comer, is the quarterback for the Prospectors. And Matishan has no scruples. He's mean through and through. And the odds makers are saying that TK will be lucky to win this game. He'll be even luckier to make it through it alive. The story is about TK and Matishan in this Super Bowl game, but I did it in a very clever way. I thought, you know, for my first novel, the game goes through the entire book, and then every other chapter I talk about the year leading up to the game, and what happened. You know, what happened to TK mostly. I also talk about things like I talked to the equipment manager, and he talks about all the equipment that these guys use. I have a map showing the street. I think the layout is maybe 12 blocks by 8 blocks, something like that. I can't remember. And any place in that street is legal. You can go up buildings, down buildings, go underground, go any place in that area. And I wrote the book when I was living in San Francisco, hence the San Francisco prospectors. But I always liked Boston. So I made TK a Boston native, and it just so happens that the Super Bowl or the Killer Bowl is in his town. And I live here now. I live here. But at the time, I had never been to Boston. So, So when I finally moved to Boston, and I have a map of the play area in the book. So when I finally moved to Boston, the first thing that I did was to go to the playing area for Killer Bowl 21 to see how accurate I was. I was pretty accurate.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So you're turning this now into a graphic novel. I mean, what made you decide to do that? It sounds like a great idea.
Well you kind of got to go back in history. I'll give you my history. Nobody knows me is probably one of the world's all-time great football fans. I saw my first football game when I was just a kid. My father took me to see the Chicago Bears. We were living in a little town in Illinois, and he took me to see the Chicago Bears. And it just to show you, how old am I? Well, they were still playing with leather helmets. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really rough and tumble, but I just loved it. So, I got to high school, and my high school only had 100 kids total kids in high school, 100 kids. So figure the boys did outnumber the girls by like 3-1. Good luck getting a date. Yeah. Like the president of the Checkers club, like me, but so we had enough boys to field a football team, but only if you played both ends. I mean, you had to play both offense and defense, and so I did. I was a middle linebacker and a right guard all 4 years of high school, and I will give you my high school Heisman moment. All right, my senior year. We had been undefeated. We were in the championship game.
Wow.
Right? And we were down by 3 points. The other team was about ready to score. Time was running out. The other team threw a pass. I intercepted the pass on the yard line and started running. All right? Oh. Started running for my goal. If I crossed it, 6 points, we win the game. Time ran out as I was running. Now, in those days, we didn't have those super slick football tights like you wear now. We had they were basically like canvas sweatpants, and I had lost a lot of weight because football was a good sport for me, and I had lost a lot of weight, and my pants were way big. So I'm running. I've got the football in one hand, and I'm trying to hold my pants up with the other hand because they're falling down. All right. So I'm running. I'm at the 10 yard line. I'm going to score. Some really fast kid from the other team catches up to me. I turn around, I stiff arm him, take him out, but in stiff arming him, I lost the grip on my pants. So my pants fell down around my ankles. I tripped and fell a yard short of the goal line. We lost the game, right? Yeah. Now, thank God that cell phones didn't exist in those days, I'd be immortalized forever. So, yeah. But I was a pretty good football player as a kid. I made little All-State, which were, All-State football players from schools that were smaller schools. And I got scholarship offers from like mid-level colleges. And
wow.
You know, they would say, yeah, hey, like, what's your grade point average? What's your SAT? And what's what do you bench? And what's your time in the 100-yard dash? And I told my mother, I said, you know, should I do these? And she said, no, I think you want to go to the University of Illinois, a bigger college, you know. And I said, oh, Ma, you know, they have this thing called walk-ons. I could walk on, and maybe I could make the team at the University of Illinois. So I did that. I went to walk-on day. Now, I got to tell you, I was in Illinois for 4 years in undergrad and a couple of years later as a grad student. But in my 4 years of undergrad, as a walk-on, the guy who would eventually wind up playing my position in Illinois was a guy named Dick Butkus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So I got to be friends with him. We were both public relations and journalism majors, and I got to be good friends with him. I came up to maybe his belt buckle. And I'm like, thank God they didn't pick me here. So, wow. You know, I always loved football. It was my passion. And when it came time for me to write a novel, I'd written hundreds of short stories. And I decided for the amount of time it took me to write a short story, 12 short stories, I could write a novel. So I thought, well, you know, what do I want to write about? And I decided, you know, I love sports. I love football. I'm going to write about football in the future. So I did that. And it was very, very successful. To this day, when I go to a Disney convention, I'm known as the guy who created Roger Rabbit. When I go to a science fiction show, I'm known as the guy who wrote Killer Bowl. I still get, I don't know, maybe 10 or 20 letters a month from people who have said, oh, geez, I read this back when it came out, and I'm, you know, I just picked it up again and read it again, and it's just as good as it was then. You know, guys are giving it to their kids. It was very, very rewarding for me. It still is very rewarding for me. And then a guy named Alex Banchita, who was a Roger Rabbit fan and also a comic book writer and a comic book producer, came to me and said, you know, this Killer Bowl book is just perfect for a comic book. Would you be interested in that? And I said, wow, you know, probably the only thing in life that I love more than football is comic books. So that's my two greatest loves in life. You know, again, going back to Earlville, my father there, that Earlville, Illinois, that's where I played football. That's where I come from. My father ran the pool hall there, and my mother was the school cafeteria cook, her and several other ladies. And my father, because of the Depression, my father had to drop out of school in the third grade. My mother had to drop out of school in the eighth grade. So, you know, these were not what you call well-educated urban liberals. I mean, they were hardscrabble working people. And my mother one day gave me the best advice of my life. She said, Gary, you know, if you don't want to wind up staying in Earlville the rest of your life and running your father's pool hall, the one thing you can do to make that happen is to read. You know, read. Mm-hmm. Just read, 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 and that will get you out of this town. And, you know, a good mother that she was, she never put any restrictions on what I could read. So, you know, what did I read? Well, I read comic books. You know, I would go down to the B Street Smoke Shop, Andy Giles' B Street Smoke Shop, and I would read all of the comic books I could before he kicked me out. And then I would buy whatever else I had in my allowance would let me buy. And I read nothing but comic books.
My mother said the same thing to me.
Yeah, my mom was like, I'm just glad you were reading something. That's what she
said. Yeah, she was like, go by all means, read comics. Do it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I talk to so many people and say, oh, my God, my mother threw out all my comic books. Well, my mother never did. I did that myself. Well, I didn't do it myself. What happened was I had stacks and stacks and stacks of comic books. I mean, I I was a big Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman kind of guy. I was a little early for the Marvel stuff, but it was big DC. And I had all these comic books. And my cousin, who was a young girl, a couple of years older than I was, we were talking, and she says, you know, I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of comic books. We should trade. I said, what a great idea. You know, I'm gonna trade her my 300 mint DC comics, and I'm going to get whatever she's got. So we traded, and I did get her like 300 comic books, but they were all like True Love, Modern Romance, icky stuff.
And gross.
Gross. Gross. And I'm sure she's sitting at her place looking at my stuff and saying, what the hell is this Man of Steel all about? So, you know, that's kind of how it came about. I, you know, all my great loves in life, football, comic books, all coming together. And so Alex put together a team. You know, he's done this before. We got an artist named Giancarlo Carusco, who has done work for Marvel, DC, all the biggies. And he's done five pages as a spec. And if you go to my Facebook page, you can find me on Facebook easy enough. If you go to my Facebook page, I'm posting those pages there, so you can get kind of a appetizer of what the final book is going to be. We also have the cover, and we're trying to raise money to do the whole book. It's going to be 64 pages. Nice. Yeah. And it's going to be sensational. You know how Kickstarters work. You know, you throw money in, and when you get the money at the end, everybody gets some kind of a reward, and the rewards are pretty good. Like we started at $15, and, you know, for $15, you get a digital copy of the comic book and a digital copy of the original Killer Bowl book.
You get both? Cool, man.
Well, I think it costs $15 for the Killer Bowl book on Amazon for a digital copy. So,
awesome, man!
Yeah, actually a bargain. And yeah, for a thousand, if you want to go to Whole Hog for $1,000, you can come to Boston and I'll buy you lunch and hang out with you, Freddie.
There you go.
That is a great deal.
You could pay $1,000 and say, no, don't do that.
Hey, there's a lot of great restaurants around here. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I think that's a good deal.
Absolutely. And I didn't even put a limit on it. You know, we'll take you wherever you want to go.
You have a signed football, which I thought was a fun.
I have signed football that I'm giving away. We have trading cards. We have real and digital copies of both the Killer Bowl novel and the graphic novel. I also am giving away some original copies of the original Killer Bowl book from 1975, which is hard to come by and a classic collectible. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, 1975. I mean, that is crazy. You know.
Well, it was not only my most successful science fiction book, but kind of made my reputation internationally too. Because even Roger Rabbit was not reprinted extensively overseas, but Killer Bowl was printed in Germany, Britain, of course. They just used the English version, although they probably changed Hood to Bonnet. I don't know. and it was printed in Japanese, Danish, Spanish, down in Mexico and in Spain. It was printed all over. And, you know, one of my favorite memories of it, they would always send me the galleys to proof. you know, they send me a galley of Japanese and here, you know, proof this, see if there's any error. Yeah, right. Well, the first one that came was Italian. The Italians love me. They, as a result of Killer Bowl, they bought the rights to all my science fiction novels.
Wow.
But this was the first one. And so they sent me this galley in Italian. And that was the first foreign language galley I'd ever gotten. So I kind of felt compelled to at least make the effort and proofread it. And when it came to the Japanese, I said, ah, screw it. But you know, the Italian, I said, yeah, sure. The only person I knew who spoke and read Italian was this Italian woman named Dolly, who babysat my goddaughter. And Dolly was an old Italian woman in San Francisco, literally the kind of Italian woman who hung out her upper floor window and yelled at the neighbors and whatever. And I said, Dolly, would you read this? Now, she was like a late middle-aged, almost elderly woman. She gave it back to me in a week, and she said, this is a filthy book. I guess they got the sex and profanity right in Italian, because Dolly gave it a big thumbs down. But
is all that stuff in the graphic novel, too? Like, how close are they? Did you change anything, or
it's a process. So far, we've only laid out and storyboarded the opening scene.
Oh, okay.
Once we get the money, then we'll storyboard and lay out the rest of it. And you know, 64 pages. I think the book is 180. So. You know, something's going to have to go and something's going to stay. Who knows? We're going to try and maintain. We are going to maintain the gritty feel of it, because that's really what it's all about. And we're also going to maintain, you know, it'd be really easy to just do the 64 page graphic novel and focus exclusively on Killer Bowl 21, which is the final game. But what gives the book its unique character and feel is the interspersing of the personal stuff throughout. So we're going to keep that too. We're going to keep a lot of that. You know, there'll probably be a page that shows what street football players wear to a game, and you know how they take care of their weapons. There'll be. You know, certainly a page of players' names. And when I wrote the book, I went to my friends and I said, "Hey, you know, I'm putting together these rosters, because I think I have rosters for 8 or 10 teams, and I'm putting together these rosters, and I don't want to make up names. I'm going to use your name as one of the football players." And cool. And my friends all thought this was super cool. So there's a guy who's just on the roster. His name is Robert F. Boston Bob Baked Beans Haggerty. And he was my best friend in San Francisco, the guy who eventually got me my literary agent, and he's on the roster. And, you know, we're thinking about maybe doing that in the graphic novel. Maybe putting some of my friends on the roster.
Well, you know what I did in my first Kickstarter is I said, if you donate however much money, like $50 or whatever, I'll put your name in the book as a character.
And did people whatever. Do that?
Oh yeah, people loved it. People were all into that.
Well, you know, I think I'm gonna talk to Alex. We're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I think people have peeped into that. Yeah.
People really did like, and then some of them I said, like, if you send me a picture, I'll draw, you know, I'll have my artist, because I can't draw. I'll have my artist draw you in as a character in the.
Absolutely. You know, since it's set in a city, we're going to have building names. So, you know, we could have the Durson Building.
Sure.
Durson Building. You know?
Yeah.
We're going to have streets. We can have street names. Absolutely. Great idea, guys.
It was something fun. One of the fun things is coming up with cool rewards, actually.
I'm going to do that.
And I like it too, because the way you're describing it, like, describes how they do some G.I. Joe comic book stuff where they have, like, here's a picture of the vehicle and they explain all of it, or they just say, this is what the person's wearing, and gives the character a backstory. Like, if that's going to be interspersed in the graphic novel, you've got my interest for sure. That sounds awesome.
Well, that's the way the novel was written. And that's kind of the tone that we want to maintain for the graphic novel too. It's going to be kind of fun because clearly TK Man, the hero, clearly he's a Tom Brady kind of guy. Right. I mean, he's a real straight arrow. Doesn't extremely by the book. Doesn't
inflate the balls or anything like that. No.
Well, I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
Let's go to the villain instead. Harv Mattishan is just slime in a football uniform. I mean, he cheats. He does whatever he has to do to win. And I kind of got the idea for him from a little bit from Joe Namath. And not that Joe Namath was a cheater. I like Joe Namath a lot. He came around when I was still in grad school, and I thought it was incredible that, you know, he's going to make $400,000 for playing football. But, he was a showman in addition to being a football player, you know, wearing a fur coat. Well, Harv Mattishan wears a white fur coat, white pants, white suit, and has as a pet a white tiger on a chain. And when he walks into parties with his tiger growls, and so does he. And, the cameras follow these guys around the football field for the entire 24 hours. And you see everything that they do during that 24 hours. And during halftime, Mattishan shoots up with dope to give himself an edge for the second half. And it's perfectly fine by street football rules. And, this is a role model for our children. So,
sure.
Yeah.
You really were.
Yeah. I know the guy is a bullet. So is there is it really violent? I don't want to spoil anything, but is murder the ultimate goal in this thing? Or is it just winning the game and points?
If you're on a football team and you can murder everybody on the opposing team, you win.
You win.
Yeah. Nobody left. Yeah. And I think if you go to my Facebook page and look at the first five pages, you will see that what we diagram first is the final play of Super Bowl 20, which is the Super Bowl prior to this one. And in that one, TK lets go a pass, and it's just like me in Earlville. You know, he lets go a pass, and if his end catches the pass, they win. If he drops the pass, they lose. And so the end goes up for the pass, and in doing it, raises his head just enough to expose his neck, and the hidden safety, who is still his bullet, shoots him in the neck and kills him. And he obviously drops the pass. So yeah, that's part of the game. You know, knives, clubs, violent sport. And I was amazed when I wrote this. I was living in San Francisco at the time, where I was a 49ers fan at the time, and I was amazed when I wrote this that people started writing me letters immediately, and I started getting letters, and people started saying, "Hey, we set up a street football league here in Detroit, and we're playing this game on the streets of Detroit." And then I go, "Hey, we set up a street football league on the streets of Chicago, and we're playing this game on the streets of Chicago."
But I hope they weren't killing each other.
I hope not. It was a moral dilemma for me because I said, hey, you know, should I put the Detroit guys together with the Chicago guys? And they can form inner city leagues, you know?
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, people were playing it. I assume that they were playing it with dummy weapons. But I'm hoping they were playing it with dummy weapons. But they were playing it, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it is, yeah, I mean, that's pretty amazing. But people love sports and people love violence and it's funny. Like, and then like, yeah, following them around for the whole day. I don't know. You're sort of predicting reality TV too, or in a way, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, that I never thought about that, but now that you've said it, yes, this predicted reality TV because every player has his own cameraman. And then there are, freelance camera guys who just go around and follow the action. There was a wide angle lens. And I believe at home, you can pick the view. You can choose to follow a specific player. You can follow like the ball. You've got options. And, people sit and watch this sport for 24 hours and everybody realizes that nobody's going to come to work on Monday morning because the whole country's been watching street football on Sunday. So, yeah.
Kind of like the Super Bowl, you know, right? I mean, everyone watches it, right?
It's except here it's every week, you know, and it's multiple teams every week, right? And, interesting things because obviously they're playing this on a city streets. And so I've told people live in buildings on city streets. So, to clear the area for the football game, people get evacuated. But they don't care because they get evacuated to special, really sumptuous places that the Street Football League has set up.
Yeah, they get all that money. So they've set them up in a nice hotel.
They get a nice paycheck. And what's more important to them, they get unlimited free viewing. So they don't have to, it's pay-per-view. And it's, if you want to watch TK exclusively, you got to pay for that. But they get unlimited free viewing. So people leave their apartments, they leave their stores to empty out that play area. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, so many things that you were predicting. It's amazing.
That doesn't even get into the technology. I predicted the cell phone. I predicted the internet. I predicted the gasoline crisis. I wasn't too far into that. I think the gas crisis was in the 80s and maybe the early 80s, and this was 75. So I wasn't too far into that, but I thought the cell phone was a pretty good one back in 75.
Yeah, definitely. So I got to ask a big question now, though. I mean, you've been living in Boston. Are you a Patriots fan, or are you still a San Francisco?
I am.
Okay, good.
If that's gonna cause people to not fund my Kickstarter campaign, well, to hell with it.
That's true. A lot of people, people don't like the Patriots. I don't know. They win. It's
I tell you what I root for. I root for the Bears, because my first professional football game, and I lived in Chicago. I mean, I lived outside Chicago for such a long time. I root for the Bears. I root for the 49ers because of all the time I spent in San Francisco. And, when they traded, when the Patriots traded Garoppolo San Francisco, I was kind of over the moon because I loved Garoppolo. And, since I'm now living in Boston, I root for the Patriots. I actually have a Tom Brady jersey. Nice. And, when they won, I've been to every duck boat parade. I actually go to every duck boat parade for no matter who I go to. I go to the Red Sox and I go to the Bruins and I go to everybody. But I've been to every duck boat parade for the Patriots. I wear my Tom Brady jersey and do some day drinking and just hang out.
We've been very fortunate, but definitely around here. But so all your teams this year are doing pretty good, right? Pretty good, you're really. This is a good year for you.
Well, the Red Sox were a little
bit. No, not the Red Sox. No. but as far as football goes, San Francisco is doing good, right? I mean, you are really.
Somehow, some way, I am going to have a team in the Super Bowl.
I think so.
When was it? The Patriots, Giants, where the Giants. I go on a jazz cruise every year, and the timing of it varies. Some years I'm here for the Super Bowl, some years I'm not. That year I wasn't, and I was on a cruise with like 2,500 passengers. We were down in the Caribbean, and they put the Super Bowl on all the televisions in the cruise ship, and they had a huge one on the back deck where we could watch the Super Bowl. And I was the only person on the cruise ship who was a Patriots fan. I thought, oh, God, I'm almost hoping they don't win because these people will beat me up and throw me overboard. Never see me again,
Well, we talked a little about football. Do you still – I assume you still read comics, or are you?
Yeah, I still read comics.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Do you keep up? Do you still have any? Do you have any favorites now, or are you just kind of?
I've fallen a little behind because of all my work projects. I don't get to read as many comics as I used to. You know, I'm still doing Roger Rabbit stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a number of animated projects for a number of studios. I don't have the time anymore to just sit back and relax and read comics. I'm probably going to take some time off, go on a vacation somewhere, pack my suitcase full of comic books I'm still and always will be a DC guy. I love DC Comics. I also love Uncle Scrooge. And my friend John Myers, who's a Catholic archbishop, he and I wrote together a book called Space Vulture, which is currently about to become an animated series. But he and I both read comics. Yeah, and he's a Catholic archbishop, so shows you that comic books don't rot your mind. But we both loved Uncle Scrooge. We had an Uncle Scrooge fan club, and in part of our Uncle Scrooge fan club, I wish that we had a vault full of gold coins that we could have gone swimming in, but we didn't. So our Uncle Scrooge fan club consisted of saving tinfoil. And in those days, gum came wrapped in tinfoil. And peel the tinfoil off the wax, and we would save the tinfoil because that was what Uncle Scrooge did. And we always argued about who had the biggest tinfoil balls. And I actually took them out and compared them, but I suspect that mine were a lot bigger. When the Marvel came along, Marvel Comics came along. I like Marvel Comics, and I read them. I didn't get to read as many of them as I'd like because I just didn't have the time. But one day when I went to L.A., somebody said, I've got a guy you should meet because you have a similar interest, and introduced me to Stan Lee. Oh. And just the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. And so we got to be friends, and every time I would go out to L.A., I would take an afternoon and go hang out with Stan Lee in his office, which I wish it was my office. He had more good stuff in that office than anything else. But comics have kind of gone through my life. They did comic books of Roger Rabbit. I didn't have anything to do with those. Disney did them. So Killer Bowl is still going to be my first comic book that I am involved in.
Man.
Yeah, but the Roger Rabbit comic books were fun. Roger Rabbit 3D comic book was fun. Comic books have followed me through my whole life. Yeah,
us as well. Actually, I mean, it's something I just can't get away.
Yeah. Nor do I want to.
No, I don't want to either. It's interesting. This is your. Let's talk really quick. It's almost time for football, so I don't want to keep you too long.
Oh, yeah, no.
But the creative team. You mentioned a little bit about Alex and Giancarlo, and so they came to you. Alex came to you for this.
Alex came to me for this.
That's great.
I was just going through some of my old correspondence, and I realized that I had emails from Alex in my Roger Rabbit file from a couple of years ago. And he had commented about some Roger Rabbit stuff and, sent me some nice letters, how he always loved Roger Rabbit. And then he just contacted me out of the blue and said that, because of Roger Rabbit, he was reading my early stuff and he read Killer Bowl and thought it would make a great comic book. And I said, yeah, sure. Go. Yeah, let's do it. So, what has he done? He writes and he's co-created comic books, and he's done something called Headless that was published, I think, by Scout Comics. He's done something called Champions of the Earth. He's done Captives. He's a guy who really knows how to put together the mechanics of Kickstarter campaigns, and he knows how to produce comic books, which is, part of it. The main artist is Giancarlo. I hope I pronounced his name right. Caracuso.
That looks about right.
Yeah, it's pretty close. He's done Spider-Man, Batman, Iron Man. He's worked for Marvel. He's worked for DC. He's worked for comic book companies, IDW, Devil's Due, Darby Pop is one of his biggies. And he did the cover in the first five pages, just as a kind of a sample of his work. But I mean, they will be the cover in the first five pages. And then once we fund the Kickstarter, he'll do the rest. Robert Ahmed is going to do some of the non-action scenes. He was also headless with Alex and Captives and Devils in Disguise. He and Alex have a long working relationship. So Giancarlo will do a lot of the action work, and Robert will do a lot of the work in between the action series. The what kind of equipment they wear,
the order battle stuff.
Nice. Kind of. And it's so cool. It's a pretty accomplished team. I'm impressed by them. I think together, given the chance, it's going to be a great comic book.
Especially someone that knows how to run Kickstarters, because I was grateful enough to be involved in both the Matt's and. Yeah, it's a lot of work, and you got to get the social media out there. And if they know how to do it, like I actually, my friend and somebody that was also been on our show, the Double Clicks, they just put out a whole book about how to do Kickstarters for bands, and this has got to be similar too. Yeah, you have to come up with cool rewards and stuff.
I know Kickstarter, because I love music too. I mean, music is another one of my biggies, and so many of the little indie bands that I follow do Kickstarter campaigns. Fund our CD and we'll give you an autographed copy of the CD. And,
right.
Fund our CD and, you can come on stage and sing a song with the band, whatever. I always chip in. I believe in helping the little guy. And I'm hoping that people will see me as a little guy here. And,
but a lot of professional, not even the little guys, sometimes everybody needs help, in these kinds of things. Yeah. Like
all those guys.
Famous people, movies get funded this way now and everything.
Super
and,
Troopers.
Yeah. Oh, really? I forgot that.
Super Troopers too. Yeah. They funded it and then it got them to a certain level, and then somebody gave them money. They're like, okay, you came up with the first $10 million or whatever. Yeah.
So what you're saying is if we do the graphic novel, then we'll go for another Kickstarter for $10 million to do the movie.
Yeah, that's right. If it's successful,
I like the movie idea. It reminds me a lot of like some stuff that came out around the same time, like Logan's Run, and we get the Gary Wolf take on it. Sounds awesome, man. I can't wait to read both things.
Yeah, it's very... So you got 30 days left. Let's get to the nuts and bolts here really quick. You got 29 days, I guess, technically, which is...
Yeah, thanks for coming on so quick, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's
I've never been involved with one of these, and it's kind of nerve-wracking to me because I go and check every half an hour and say, "Oh my God, you know, we're still at $850."
Don't check every half hour.
Yeah.
It is funny though, because sometimes you think like people are waiting to the end, and I'm like, but it's not like eBay. You're not bidding on any. Like, you don't have to be the last one to get anything. Everyone, you know.
Yeah, other people have told me that a lot of people jump in at the end, but
yeah,
I'm telling you, give the writer a little break and get in there early, because you know, if you want to see more Roger Rabbit stuff, I work best when I'm not under pressure. So take the pressure off me. You know, kick in your $15-25 now, and I'll be a happy guy, and then we'll see more Roger Rabbit stuff.
That's good. No, really, there's no reason. Don't wait. Just do it now. It makes everybody more relaxed.
Absolutely.
But it is fun to watch it go up. It's fun to see, for me anyway, I was telling you this before we started recording, like, it's fun to see who donates, like people I went to high school with that I hadn't seen in 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Donating, yeah. You know, it's fun.
I actually posted this on my hometown site, is if you've ever lived in Earlville, and my Earlville people started donating, and I was really tickled by that.
It's great. It does show you, you know, the people are nice. Yeah, it's wonderful, and yeah, it's fun to come up with rewards and stuff, and yeah, it's. It sounds great. I'm very excited. We're gonna plug this like crazy. So
I appreciate it. And if you wanna donate, probably the easiest way to do it is go to my website, www.garywolf.com, and there's a link there, a big link, that'll take you right into it. And I urge everybody to watch the video that precedes it, because it's really pretty exciting. And then I do a little spiel. I'm no Tom Hanks, but I'm okay.
I like the narration on there. It was cool.
Yeah, no, I watched the video and it's very cool. And I know how nerve-wracking it can be to sit there on camera and be like, okay, so donate to the, you know, it's kind of, I had to film it like 20 times.
Oh, geez, 32 takes on that. Right. 32 takes, more than it took Chris Lloyd to put that rubber glove on in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That was only one takes, you know. But it came out really well, and I'm pleased with it.
Well, yeah, and we'll put it on our website too. So if anybody's listening here, it'll be on leaguepodcast.com. It'll be on Gary Wolf's website. It'll be on our Facebook, our Twitter, our whatever, Instagram, I guess. Right, Clay? Yeah. I don't know.
It's everywhere.
Put it all over the place, so hopefully the word gets out, because that's what it's all about. But yeah, like I said, it's almost football time. It's almost kickoff time. I don't want to keep you. I know the Patriots are playing Monday night football tonight. So,
Monday night. So I won't go to work on Tuesday.
Right. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime you want to come back, anything you want to plug, we will do our best on this, but good luck, obviously. But anytime you want to come back, you're welcome.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll talk to you soon. Don't forget, Killer Bowl.
Go Patriots, go Bears, go 49ers.
That's right. Go Killer Bowl, graphic novel.
Go Minutemen.
Go Minutemen, right. All right, thanks again, Gary. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Gary.
Take care.
Later.